From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
The expression cutting garden sounds dreamy, laden with the promise of colorful flowers to harvest and bring indoors for bouquets in the months to come. But let's get practical, like which of the many possibilities to grow, annual, perennial, or otherwise, and how? That's today's subject with flower farmer Jenny Elliott. But first, these messages.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com. Underwriting support from High Mowing Organic Seeds, the first independently owned farm-based seed company proudly serving organic gardeners and farmers with 100% organic and non-GMO vegetable, herb, and flower seeds. HighMowingSeeds.com/awaytogarden.
Jenny Elliott of Tiny Hearts Farm in Copaic, New York, is a farmer florist. With partner Luke Franco and their crew, she grows flowers organically, both for the wholesale market, for subscribers to her weekly flower CSA, and also for events, including weddings that she designs and more. She's my beloved neighbor and friend, and for local listeners to Robin Hood Radio, she's also one of my collaborators May 11th and again June 8th, when we join forces with HGS Home Chef Cooking School in nearby Hillsdale and Broken Arrow Nursery and put on a full day of programs coincide with my spring open garden days. And she's got a calendar for classes at her Tiny Hearts Flower Shop, too, in Hillsdale, and is the featured speaker at Spencertown, New York, on June 15th. And we'll have details of all of that with a transcript of this show on awaytogarden.com. So enough said, too much said. Welcome, Jenny, my plant maddest neighbor. How are you?
Hi, neighbor. I'm good. How are you?
Well, if people want to know how plant mad we are, the two girls, as soon as the ice and snow melted, like, what were we out doing the other day?
cutting willows and dogwoods and looking at all the pretty, fantastic colors.
Cutting all the twig shrubs from my yard to turn into, what, a stick garden in your greenhouse, right?
Yeah, I had that treasure trove of yeah, I guess it just looks like sticks to everybody else, huh, in the back of my car when I left.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, but you made cuttings and you're propagating them in your greenhouse, and that's really exciting. So actually, you showed it on your Instagram. It was pretty hilarious, so I'll give people a link to that. So tell us briefly what Tiny Hearts Farm is.
Well, Tiny Hearts Farm is a cut flower farm. Smack in the middle of Copaic, New York. We do, we'll be about 25 acres this year, up from our original 15 acres.
Whoa, and Nelly.
I know, right? I'm just getting used to hearing myself say that now, you know?
Okay, good.
and we also went, you know, we've had a propagation greenhouse and another greenhouse, but this year we're building another and leasing another, so we're up to four greenhouses this year too, which is exciting. So we grow lots and lots of flowers, and we sell them through retail outlets, and we wholesale them around the Hudson Valley and in New York City, and we do weddings and events, and, you know, we've got the shop in Hillsdale. So the flowers are coming in from the field and going out very quickly all over the place.
And so in the dead of winter, because we, of course, live in the Northeast, both of us, you in beautiful downtown Cupcake and me in uptown Cupcake Falls, New York, you don't have, it's not a flower shop that's open in the dead of winter because there's nothing to harvest,
there's nothing to harvest. So we stayed open until, what, like mid-December about? Mm-hmm. And then we shut down for the winter, and I'm waiting for, well, I thought I was waiting for the tulips to bloom, but now I'm wondering if the anemones aren't going to beat them. But whoever comes in first is when we're going to open the shop and have flowers again.
So to kind of accomplish all that, you know, to supply your customers, and I don't know if you didn't mention, or maybe you did mention, I mentioned the CSA, you also have subscribers, people who come on given days of the week and pick up their weekly goodies. They subscribe for 6 weeks or a month or however long it is to a different assortment of flowers. So, you know, you can't suddenly, with all these different kinds of customers, you can't suddenly say, like, oh, oops, we have no flowers this week because I forgot to plant them at the right time, you know, or I only planted zinnias and nothing else, so oops, we're not, you know, you've got to really strategically plan this, like, monster cutting garden, so to speak, like much more complicated than for any of us home gardeners, but same strategy, yeah?
Yeah, same strategy. I mean, I haven't, you know, we went from an acre to now, you know, it'll be 25 acres, like pretty quickly, but I really have not changed my strategy for field planting at all, you know? So yeah, I think it all is kind of the same deal on all sizes. Yeah.
So maybe we start there with the sort of 101 version, that if we're just getting, feeling our way, what are some of the easier things that we can do to start with in our cutting garden that we're dreaming up, and then advance to sort of the slightly more sophisticated palettes to layer in. So what do we start with?
Well, we start with annuals, right? I mean, you can start them now and throughout the spring and summer, and it's a big wide world of flowers. Right? The annuals, there's so many.
Yeah.
And we that's our bread and butter still. You know, we have these big, flat, open fields that just lend themselves to these long tractor rows, and annuals has been the perfect thing for us. And when I think of annuals, I think of these little, like, you know, six-pack bedding plants and stuff, and, like, I think we have to shake that notion out of our heads because there's so many things. But, I mean, the big ones for us are zinnias, celosias, cosmos, gomphrena, rudbeckias, marigolds, and so many others, but those are like the easy starters, you know, ones that you can pretty easily start from seed yourself. Some of them can be direct sown, and those are kind of like the big producers too, right? Like they just throw up flower after flower.
Generous, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some varieties more than others, but across the board, they're workhorses.
So
beautiful.
So one of you know, you just said, like, you know, we should get past the sort of little, like, six packs of the most familiar things, you know, widen the palette a little bit, even with the easy, almost direct sowable or 4 to 6 weeks indoors kind of easy things. But there's within the familiar zinnia world or marigold world, there's like more interesting things to look at. Yes.
So yeah, there's tell us all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah. So like when you say you're sowing zinnias, and you know, I love some of the traditional zinnias and everything, but there's even more exciting ones. So like, what are some of your favorites at the moment? I just ordered Jazzy Mix, which is a Zinnia Hagiana type of zinnia. It's kind of like in mahogany shades and bicolors. They're kind of marked. And do you like that one? Is that one that you grow?
I love that one.
Oh, good.
I think that one replaced the old Persian carpet zinnia, right? Like, and it's just like the only difference, I think, is it's taller, which is really nice for cutting. I love that one. It's tiny, right? Like the flowers are tiny, but you can get some height on it. I a couple years ago, actually, I think I did this 2 years in a row. I shouldn't admit this, probably. We didn't weed them, and they grew so tall, and they were amazing.
Huh,
so I'm not recommending that. But if you let your patch get weedy, you know, there's a silver lining to that. Those are great. I love those guys. They're not that exciting, but like I'm obsessed with the Oklahoma series.
This season.
They're just, I love the colors they come in. The salmon is my favorite. We sell tons of those. And I did Oklahoma Golden Yellow last year, and they're just, the flowers are smaller, and you can get those really full doubles, you know, which is nice on those. And gosh, they're just tall. They're more mildew resistant than the Benneries, which is supposedly mildew resistant. Not in my field.
Right. and the thing of the great thing and the Benneries, I mean, you know, I don't have the same mass production going on. So, What I love is that you can get the single colors like you're talking about with the Oklahoma salmon. You know, I can get the Bennery, just the chartreusey sort of green, or just the orange, you know, if that's all I want.
Yeah, right. Because there's some, like this, salmon rose, the Bennery's giant.
Yeah.
Like that's a beautiful one. But then there's also like, you know, five colors of different shades of red. I don't know who needs all those. But it's nice to be able to choose.
Yeah. So you can get single color strains. So those are some zinnias that you have been liking.
Yeah.
I love marigolds. I mean, and I think when I first met you, was it five years ago or six years ago? Five? I don't know.
Something like that.
And I said to you, I know this person who has been breeding selecting marigolds for a long time, and they have these crazy marigolds. And I think you have sort of waded through that collection. Do you have any marigolds to recommend?
I do. So we do grow a lot of just like the big tall African marigolds.
Sure.
I think we do the Jedi series, yellow and gold. But the best ones are from Peace Seedlings, which you turned me on to.
Yeah.
And my favorite ones there are for seasons now is Sparkler.
Oh.
Which they're small flowers. They're just so charming. They're tall. I mean, like they can get shoulder height, like a hedge, and they're this mix of red and orange. Like on one petal, there'll be different patterns of red and orange, and they look like a sparkler. Figure. Those are rad. There's one.
Did you just say those are rad as opposed to red?
Oh, rad. They're both. What else? Burgundy Bliss was a new one that I tried this year, and I loved it. And it's actually burgundy, and then it has like an orange picoteed edge on each petal.
Wow.
Really awesome. So I like those because marigolds, you know, they can be, I don't know, they're marigolds.
Yeah.
But these are like really, really special.
Yeah. Those are all from the breeding work of Alan Capular, and his kids carry on with Peace Seedlings, selling the seeds and of all his progeny, you know, which is great. I noticed that there's Rudbeckias now. I'm seeing more. You said Rudbeckia, and, you know, I sort of think of Rudbeckia being a longtime gardener. You know, there's been a lot of perennial Rudbeckias, but there's ones that I guess are treated more like annuals as well. Like I bought this one from Select Seeds the other day called Sahara, and I bought it just because the picture was sort of had these peachy, buffy, pale, dusty coral looking, you know, these kind of muted colors on the picture. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm trying that one too this year.
Okay.
All the florists are really excited about that one.
Oh.
I kept seeing it pop up last season with all these florists who were stoked and trying to get their hands on it. So I'm trying that one too. And then some of the others, have you tried Chimchimini?
No.
That one, I think I get the seed from Johnny's for that one.
Uh-huh.
And in the pictures, it looks weird. Like it has these very narrow petals that don't touch, you know, so it kind of looks like some weird spaceship ray gun kind of thing. And in person, they're huge. They're like the size of your hand, and they come in, just all these yellows and browns, and they're just really unique, tall, sturdy, good producers, like everything good.
Huh.
Yeah, I like those guys.
A couple of quick celosias to recommend if we want to try those crazy guys.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Sunday series.
Okay.
Sunday dark pink, Sunday orange. I mean, they're plume celosias, and they're just really vibrant. I did a new one, new to me, the Selway series, which is kind of like these little spikes. And that was great and just produced. And there's a terracotta color that blends really well with all kinds of color schemes and arrangements, which is really nice.
So some of those, we could direct, so probably the zinnias, the marigolds, I don't know which of the others, but I usually give them like 4 or 6 weeks in a cell pack or flat inside or under lights. For me, I don't have a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But like that Rudbeckia, I was thinking, I need to start that sooner, because even though it's Rudbeckia hirta, it's an annual-ish thing. It still needs more time than, say, a zinnia or a marigold, yeah?
Yeah, I think I give the Rudbeckia 6 or maybe 7 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, they're so tiny when they start out, you know,
yeah.
They need a little time to grow on, yeah.
Okay. So are there foliage things, too, in your sort of 101 palette of annuals, you know, like that aren't for the flowers but are for the sort of filler or the...
Yeah, well, we use basil a lot.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I haven't had luck with Genevieve's basil for years now. You know, it just gets mildewy right away.
Yes, we have,
lemon basil does well for us.
Uh-huh.
Some of the purple basils are really nice. I tried, I might be wrong on this, Alternanthera, is that how you pronounce it?
I say Alternanthera, but it doesn't matter. Alternanthera, yeah, sure.
Oh, marvelous. Oh, my gosh.
Fabulous
plant.
Easy
to start from seed, and it just grew like crazy.
Yeah.
That glossy, like really, like the outside of an eggplant, right?
Yes. My favorite one is the rubiginosa, the species rubiginosa. I believe it's a species, R-U-B-I-G-I-N-O-S-A. And it has a deep winish, like you say, almost eggplanty, but winish color, wonderful. And it sprawls out of a big pot also. You know, it's used as like a filler or a cascading thing in pots too. So I love,
mm-hmm.
I love the Alternantheras. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Shiso.
Yes.
Kind of Shiso this year.
Perilla. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I've used copper fennel in the past for its ornamental value as well as, and I guess that's not technically an annual, but probably,
yep.
But yeah,
yep.
Copper fennel.
We do that one and we let it bolt because the flowers are really great too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now again, you know, in your quote cutting garden, 25 acres of it, you've got to have stuff, a succession of things. So I'm assuming that if just because you're starting some of these things now or soonish to plant out in May in our zone 5B doesn't mean you expect those same seedlings to be perfect and still producing flowers in August and September. Are you like doing succession plantings of these things or what?
Yeah, we're doing successions of, well, depends on the plant, right? So we do 4 successions a year of zinnias.
Wow.
Yeah, celosia. I think Cosmos gets 5.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, just because when it's a cutting garden, too, you want top quality flowers every time you cut, right? Like, so we'll just ditch an old planting just because it's not so good anymore. And move on to the fresh planting. Like, even though it might still be producing flowers, they're not that great anymore. So keeping, you know, keep having fresh plantings and you keep getting really, really nice flowers all season long. And then there's other things. Well, like sunflowers, we plant every 2 weeks. And then there's a few things that we only have to do twice a year. So, like, I do an early spring planting of Gomphrena, and then we'll plant out more in July.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets us through the fall with, like, a nice fresh crop of that. Strawflower, the Rudbeckias we do twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Gabiosa. A lot of things. And then there's some things, right, that you could succession plant all year long, but I kind of get bored of them, or things I don't want to see again until the fall.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Calendula is one.
Right.
So, like, yeah, we could grow it all year, but it's, you know, the oranges and yellows, I kind of want to see that yellow in the spring and then the orange and yellow again in the fall. But
mm-hmm.
I have enough other orange and yellow in the summer that I don't want it. So.
And, you know, the thing is what you just said about the multiple successions and having, you want to have a nice fresh supply of something. I mean, even with the basil that you mentioned that you use, you know, if you plant basil, people set out basil in, at last frost in their garden. And then, you know, it turns into this gangly, almost woody, shrubby thing and is flowering like mad and people keep pinching the flowers. But really, it would be better to have a couple of successions of basil, too, from a culinary point of view. Do you know what I mean? To have, so even with our edibles, that's the case. So, we, you know, both ornamentals and our edibles. And so I'm assuming with some of the ones that we've talked about, do they require any other treatment like pinching or anything, or are these all things that just sort of you let go to their natural inclination?
Gosh, I'm trying to think of anything I don't pinch.
Oh, good. Okay, so explain that to us, because of course a lot of us mere gardeners over here don't do that. We set them out and we, you know what I mean? So tell us about that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I start every year with the intention to pinch everything, and of course I don't get to everything, and they do fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we pinch everything when it's, I mean, general rule, I would say when it's about 4 inches high, we pinch it down to about 3 sets of leaves, so all the zinnias. I guess I don't, certain celosias I don't pinch, like the brain celosias.
Mm-hmm.
They won't form that big center flower
right.
if you pinch them.
Right.
Cosmos does much better pinched. Gosh, just about everything. Yeah, so you pinch it down, and it seems really harsh and scary and like you're killing your plant. And all that it does is lets you get more taller flowers.
Huh.
So you're really doing a good thing.
Huh. So let's spend our last few minutes talking about what else besides annual, sort of the 201 version, you know, the more advanced class. I mean, obviously you start your season with things like bulbs, tulips that you have planted the year before, the fall before, things like that. So we can put bulbs into our assortment. You have dahlias in the fall,
mm-hmm.
late summer and fall, and those
mm-hmm.
are tender bulbs. But are there perennials in the assortment as well, or biennials or anything else?
Yeah, all of the above. Yeah, I mean, I think that the next easiest thing to do, you know, is that, like, fall is going to be here before we know it, right?
Don't say that.
I know. It's true, though. Like, I'll buy my tulip bulbs in a few months, you know. So that's an easy one to plant, is planting tulips and fall-planted bulbs for the following spring. And we'll also be starting seeds for the biennials in a month or two, really.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get them planted out in the summer so that they have nice roots so that, you know, they can be held through the winter with on nice, sturdy plants.
A couple of examples, yeah.
Yeah, Sweet William,
okay.
Carnations. You know, we do, like, the little heirloom French carnations. Foxgloves.
Uh-huh.
Quaking grass, which I'm obsessed with. Luke hates it. I love it.
Now, when you say quaking grass, is it Kalmagrass? I don't know what it is. Well, no, that's not what I mean.
I don't know the grass names.
Flattened like northern sea oats?
It kind of is. It's rounder, and you shake it, and it sounds like a rattlesnake. You know, I grew up in California. It grows wild all over the place
okay.
where I grew
I'll
up.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, quake. Oh, Breeza. Breeza.
Oh, sure, okay.
Breeza maxima,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
I do know that grass name. Yeah.
Good.
Right. So those are the guys. And then, again, in the fall, this is super climate dependent, like even microclimate dependent, whether you can get hardy annuals to overwinter here where we are, right? So I can get Centaurea and Nigella pretty regularly to overwinter. So I'll seed it like in September, and then it'll bloom the following spring outdoors. But some of the other things, larkspur, I don't know what else, a few things, but they just don't make it here. Bells of Ireland, things like that.
So for those of us at home starting cutting garden, we could also buy some perennials or like foxglove, which are more biennial for me or short-lived. We could buy some bigger pots, like get started in advance, and add those to our cutting garden as more permanent fixtures, right? I mean, you may be sowing them from seed, but we could do that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, some things that have done really well for us, like I love yarrows. We have this tremendous bed of Echinops that I use
crazy.
Them.
Yeah.
Love it. So good. They're very short-lived in a vase, but I wouldn't do without them. Oriental poppies, I adore.
So, Jenny Elliott from Tiny Hearts Farm, I want to be sure to have the last couple seconds here to just tell people May 11th and again June 8th, we're going to be having classes and open garden and all kinds of other things going on. I'll give the details with the transcript. Plus, at tinyheartsfarm.com, you have other classes going on, including, I think, April 14th in Hillsdale, you're doing Cutting Garden, a whole class on it, I believe, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yep, on planning, and planting one.
And yeah. Spencertown Academy in Spencertown, New York, June 15th. And again, all the details with the transcript. I'm so glad to speak to you, and thank you so much. And I'll see you around the neighborhood when we can go out taking some more cuttings.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right.
Margaret.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Underwriting support from High Mowing Organic Seeds, the first independently owned farm-based seed company proudly serving organic gardeners and farmers with 100% organic and non-GMO vegetable, herb, and flower seeds. HighMowingSeeds.com/awaytogarden. Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books and gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
And I hope I'll talk to all of you again soon, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes or on Spotify. And find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or facebook.com/awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.